listening to KSCO, serving Fort Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanada.
The views expressed on the following live program do not necessarily reflect those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome everybody to the wall-to-wall coverage of the... Oh, that's really special, special, special thing, special, special day. My name is Cyril Vatomsky. I am your progressive and multicultural ambassador of the New World Order, but I'm not in the ambassadorial capacity here, just a talk show junkie, a politics junkie. You don't hear anything, Richard? No, nothing? Oh, okay, all right. Here we go. Now let me bring Richard quickly here. How are you, Richard?
Well, I'm here and ready to go. Are we on?
Yes, we definitely are on, and this is the wall-to-wall coverage of the election night. We'll put together very quickly. Sorry for that little bit of that Russian noise music. Richard promised to bring some good music because he said that my music tastes are not good enough.
No, I wasn't making that judgment. I was just reporting what was common knowledge, man.
It's common
knowledge. I don't make this stuff up, guys.
All right. Okay.
Tell me something, Cyril.
Yes.
Do you have any idea, you know, when that three-judge appellate panel cut off the election way back in the beginning, you remember a couple of weeks ago when all that was the stir?
Yeah.
And then they had all them guys get together, what was it, 11 of them?
Yeah, they put it back on again.
Well, what? Yeah, but how did that work?
What do you mean, how did that work? Well, as far as I understand, again, I'm not a legal expert, but as far as I understand how that goes... is that the circuit court, the federal circuit court, consists of something like 26 judges.
Yeah.
And they never, ever get together, all of them, at the same time on the same case.
Right.
So, the usual way of dispensing of those cases that end up on the table for the court,
yeah,
go to a three-judge panel.
Yeah.
And then if other judges on that court would think, oh no, those guys just didn't really do a good job, they can reconvene the 11-judge panel, and that would be like the full court decision or something like that. That's my understanding.
Okay, and I think that's pretty close to my understanding, but that's not where I was really going. It is and it isn't. Thank you for doing the background. I didn't have to do it. So the three-judge panel originally stopped the election. Did they?
I think they said no. What they said is that based on suspicion that some voters can get disenfranchised because of the supposedly the possible, unfeasible use of faulty electoral counting equipment, they said, okay, well, that's not going to work. We need to have every vote count, which I think is statistical impossibility in the first place.
Okay, so remember when they made their opinion, everybody was all just jumping up and down because the opinion was like 66 pages.
Was it? I thought it was less than that.
No, it was 66.
Okay.
I know.
Right.
I know because of all the people that I've listened to about this.
Yeah.
To my knowledge, I'm the only one that read them.
Okay. I haven't read it.
Well, but what's interesting is that when the 11-judge panel got together and they were through, apparently they said something about not upholding the first panel, or did they overturn their first panel, or what was that?
I think they overturned the first panel.
But do you know of any opinion that they wrote in relation to that where it was explained why it is they did that and on what basis?
Now that you mention it, no, I don't. But they might have, I don't know. Maybe somebody, By the way, we started jumping right into this. We need to warm.
We did? I thought I did.
Well, we need to get people really, you know, gradually, incrementally get up to speed.
The polls close at 8.
Yes.
Okay, and if I was going to have this discussion, it was going to have to be sometime. I mean, sit around here and guessing about what's going to happen an hour from now is what we've been doing for the last 2-3 weeks.
That's
so
right.
I was thinking that we'd better hash this, you know, just up front, get it out of the way.
Yeah, but
tomorrow morning, as soon as the courts open, there's going to be a whole bunch of lawsuits filed.
Probably, maybe tomorrow, maybe in a couple of days, because we're probably not going to know the final tally until later than tomorrow.
But the final tally is going to be what these lawsuits are coming after.
Probably.
See, the certification of the election has to take place within 39 days. That's a constitutional requirement, unless it was changed like the stuff about the propositions, and we'll find out about it later, which is why these lawsuits are coming. But the 39 days to certification, the lawsuits that are going to come up are going to be to get an injunction against the Secretary of State to prevent him from certifying the election results.
Possible. I'll give you another reason why those cases are going to be filed. At least, yeah, I think that another one could be in the works, because the California Constitution, unfortunately, is not very specific on this. There is a law that covers recalls of every single public official in the state of California without any specificity. And there is also the Constitution that says and the dictum in the Constitution is exactly precise. It says that if the vacancy occurs in the governor's office, the lieutenant governor becomes the governor. This was brought up way before the recall was even certified. I talked about that. This is an interesting thing. And there is also in the law that governs the recall says that the Secretary of State, where appropriate, would appoint a list of candidates to replace the one being recalled to be voted on for on the same ballot.
Now, wait a minute.
What he did.
Wait a minute. You're talking about... No.
Yeah.
No.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, telephone numbers, if you would like to be on the program here, 479-1080, 477-1340. This is KSCO AM 1080 and KSCO AM 1340. Yeah, both stations.
Oh, we're really?
Yeah, we are all out for it. Richard,
these folks tuned in to listen to Savage, and they got you and me.
Well, with you, they might not necessarily be that very upset.
Well, I hope not.
But
yeah,
on the other hand, the people that listen to Combs might not necessarily be upset with me.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so now we've got an 11 judge panel that overturned the 9 judge panel, but they didn't really write an opinion. And I don't know if you followed my shows, and I don't know how.
Yeah,
many,
yeah, I do.
I don't know how many of the listeners tonight follow my shows, but during the course of that whole thing, when it first happened and everybody was bed-wrapping the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals about what idiots they were, I took the time to go read the decision. And unlike your impression of what that election was held up for, it was my impression that election was held up because those propositions were put on that ballot.
Really? Okay.
Prematurely.
Yeah, I missed that one show that you went on specifically.
Right.
I remember you referring to this
later
times, but not getting into the details.
And the reason I bring it up tonight is that I don't want anybody to be surprised when they find out what it is that I'm going to talk to you about now, because I think that this is going to be the next talk in this movie, because there's going to be a bunch of lawsuits filed. The original suit was to hold up the election because the propositions were put on the ballot before, in less time than it took to run them. In other words, the election code says it had to be 110 days or better. And as you know, it was less than 60 days. So they violated election code to do that.
Does that say, no, I think it says 90 days?
No, sir. It's 40 days before... 40 days before the election, the pamphlets are to be mailed out. 40 days before that, they're supposed to be sent to the printer. 20 days before that, the proposed language is supposed to be put out for the public to review, for any changes to be made, and all that discussion. So at least 100 days And then there's some other time in there. I've heard as high as 118, but a minimum of 100 days.
But doesn't it say somewhere in the Constitution that it has to be...
Next election, or... And that's where it gets tricky, because it the or thing is what came up. The three-judge panel, when they were faced with this, saw the or as optional and held up the election because they saw that the Secretary of State did not necessarily have to do that. However, in the arguments with the 11-judge panel, it was brought out by the Attorney General because that body inquired specifically about that. It was brought out by the Attorney General that had been put in front of the California Supreme Court. The question about whether or not these things were supposed to be on the ballot and whether or not it violated the Constitution or state law, and they tried to get it stopped at the state court level. And the California Supreme Court had ruled on it, and the name of the case was the Takash versus Shelley. And in the Takash case, they didn't give a written opinion there either. These courts really don't want to be in the elections business. Trust me. They're trying to get out of the line of fire.
I know. Except for the Florida Supreme Court. But
well, no. Since the Florida thing, that's why they're all trying to stay out of it. I think that's where the Supreme Court did what they did. But in Takash, what they decided was that the Secretary of State had no choice but to put the propositions on the ballot in violation of state elections code. And the mandate was the Constitution. Right. You with me?
Yes.
Now, hang on.
Let me distinguish. You're talking about two different things. When I was saying about 90 days or 60 days,
yes. That's
about the recall. You're talking about the propositions.
Yes.
And how long they have to
exactly.
Be.
Exactly. I didn't make that clear. I apologize.
I'm sorry. Maybe I'm linguistically challenged. Maybe I didn't get that. So we're talking about a conflict between two parts of the election, the recall election and recall voting, and the propositions were put on the same ballot.
They are on there in violation of state election law.
Is it possible that vote for those propositions can be invalidated?
Yes.
And recall preserved?
That's what's going to be happening after this election is over. That's the cases that are going to be filed, and these are the questions that are going to be asked. And to finish off my point so that you'll understand how intriguing this whole thing is for me.
Oh,
because
it is.
I understand these things. I mean, I've studied them, so I have this insight. And for people that like politics, I just thought this view would be fun at the start of this show, and then we could do all the election talk in a bit. But yeah, the Supreme Court, when they were asked the question, can the propositions lawfully be on the ballot, they came back and said that the Constitution required it. Now, in reading the Constitution, what you see is that clearly the Secretary of State, by Constitution language, the way it is written, has a choice between one or the other, the next general election or the next special election, and it's a choice. But what the Supreme Court explained was that the commission had amended the Constitution so that the Secretary of State had no choice. In other words, the commission had removed the or from the language of the Constitution under that provision.
On what grounds? Did they do that?
Well,
hold that thought. We'll take a commercial break here because this is a commercial radio station, and we do care about the businesses that sponsor this
Absolutely. Very
radio broadcast. This is the KSCO election coverage. I quickly put together between Rosie, myself, Richard, Ryan over there in the control. Ryan will have to do a lot of running and wheelie-dealing here. So let's take a commercial break. We will be back after those messages. Stay with us. And, I didn't have my out loaded. So, Ryan, take it away.
Listening to KSCO, serving Fort Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanada.
Oh, Richard, why are you laughing here? We're back. Richard Quigley, Cyril Vitomsky, Ryan Roberts of the controls. This is KSCO's wall-to-wall. Yeah, wall-to-wall coverage.
Yeah, wall-to-wall coverage. They'll probably be posting the first results about the time we're walking out the door. But
you dream. They probably post those results much later, but we'll try to make it interesting. There will be some people are going to be calling. I hope that we can arrange for Gail Pellerin and Tony Anchundo.
I want Steele, the nincompoop. I want to talk to him. I want him to call.
Oh, you mean Sean Steele?
Oh, yeah.
Richard came in today so fired up.
What a moron. What a moron. Oh. I swear. Anyway, so...
I'm just curious.
It's a personal opinion, and it's just name calling, and shame on me. I'm just curious,
in your circles, what am I called? Am I called a moron, too?
Actually, you've never come up in conversation, so I... But...
Okay.
No, but I think I'm a moron. But anyway, so now we're back to where the proposition bound up the election, and they went ahead and cleared it. But it all came down to the Supreme Court decision, which is going to play again, Takash versus Shelley. You're going to hear the name again. Anyway, and it was not over hanging chads, and it was not over having a ballot that was too complicated for the people. If you read the decision, you'll find out the election was held up because the propositions were improperly put on the ballot. Anyway, in Takash, the Supreme Court said that according to the Constitution, as amended by the commission, that the Secretary of State had no choice.
What commission?
Oh, you know, that's pretty funny, dude, because when I read that minute order of that decision and I looked at that, that was the first thing that popped in my mind. A Constitution amended by what commission? Yeah, think about it. A commission amended the Constitution. Now, Cyril, until now, to my knowledge, if you wanted to amend the California Constitution, what you had to do was figure out how to get a proposition on the ballot.
Yes.
And once on the ballot, then you had to figure out how to get the word out about what it was about to enough people that the people would vote for it and it would get a majority vote and then it would amend the Constitution. So the idea of the Constitution being amended by a commission read alarming to me.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I heard that when you mentioned that on the air, I had about the same exact feelings about that. However, there might be an explanation, but go ahead.
Yeah, oh, no, it's coming, and it's even worse than what we thought.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. I called the Supreme Court, and I talked to the clerks up there who are, you know, they're really fine people, and once you get past the officious ones and you get to the ones that don't mind their job, I ran into a young woman, and I says, when the Supreme Court spoke of this commission, what were they talking about? And she says, oh, the California Constitution Revision Commission. Excuse me? The California Constitution Revision Commission.
Okay, what does it do?
Well, when you look it up in Google, you're going to find that it came in the early 90s.
92, I think, yeah.
They, pardon?
92, I think.
No, 93 was actually when they started working, and they were out by 96. But in 93, they came in, and they came in to help solve the budget crisis, and the deal was that our constitutional law was apparently interfering with some of the cures they wanted to get to the fix to the money. Another one of Pete Wilson's great ideas.
Okay.
So they put this commission together. The commission is made up of 10 members appointed by the legislature, 5 by the governor, 5, I believe, by the judiciary, and then 3 drunks staggered in, and they sat them down and told them when to raise their hands. And these 23 people, not elected by us, not involved in any process of which we are aware, don't know where they got their authority, amended the Constitution such that the Secretary of State was forced to put those two propositions on the recall ballot, which is going to be the foundation of the lawsuits as to the propositions on this election, which may very well queer the whole damned election, but could certainly put off the certification past the 39 days that is currently scheduled by constitutional
Interesting.
Law.
Interesting. What grounds did you follow that? We have less than a minute to go, so we'll continue on that after the bottom of the hour commercial break and the news break.
Yeah.
Did you find any... What does that commission... Where does it get the foundation, the rationale to revise the Constitution?
Well, I think you're talking about the authority.
Yes.
Yeah. My question, exactly.
Not only the authority, because
Audacity, okay, well, the Gall?
No,
the Gall's a good one.
I'll try to play. I mean, I don't like this idea no more than you do. But I'll try to play David the Advocate when we come back from the break. There might be something, some sort of explanation for this. I don't know. This is KSCO AM 1080, KSCO AM 1340. We're listening to the election coverage wall to wall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Fort Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanata.
These guys are missing the best of the artists, aren't they?
That's right. You people are missing. You people are missing so much of this because during the breaks, it doesn't stop. It just continues, but never mind. Welcome back. This is the election coverage on KSCO AM 1080, KSCO AM 1340, the station that brings you all elections every time, every day. I didn't mean to say that. Telephone numbers if you would like to be on the
like
program.
The guy that said this morning, vote early and often. He must work for the Democratic Party.
Well, yeah, that wasn't that the motto of the Chicago Democratic Party?
Oh, you know, and that John Kennedy election. This is the other thing I love about.
Hang on, let me bring up the telephone numbers first. 479-1080, 477-1340. If you would like to be on the program, don't sweat. Michael Savage will return tomorrow, and Alan Colmes will return tomorrow. So those of you, Michael Savage or Alan Colmes junkies, you'll just have to bear with us here between me, Cyril, and Richard here also. We can probably wear you to death and to tears with the stuff that we can talk about.
So we're back to this commission.
He is totally unstoppable.
Well, I'm on point. I won't wait. So we're back to the commission, the California Constitution Revision Commission that amended the Constitution such that the Secretary of State had no choice but to violate state election law and put the two propositions on the ballot, therefore absolutely inviting litigation. There's no way around it.
Okay. Now, this commission, it doesn't exist anymore.
No, they disbanded it in 96.
Okay, this commission also, could it be that this commission was not really an authority to change Constitution?
Well, but apparently they were, because the Supreme Court acknowledged that authority when they said that the commission amended the California Constitution. That is not a trite statement.
Yes, but could it be that the reason for the and again, I'm playing the devil's advocate here.
Well, you're just asking questions because I don't have most of the answers.
That's
either,
right.
But go ahead.
The question is, could it be that that commission was really an editorial board, really to clean up some discrepancies that come up? You know, California has the process of amending constitution that has been used over the last 40 years many, 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 many times. We are, what, how many propositions has been?
Well, yeah, but that's the method, that is the method that is to be used.
But, yes, but maybe, is it possible that there could be some discrepancies between the existing body of law? That
a conflict?
Also,
no, yeah. There's absolutely a conflict, and the conflict is apparent. The way the Constitution is now revised by this commission is that now the Secretary of State is required, when dealing with propositions, to ignore state election law. There's your conflict. So that they built that one in, and
but
I don't
could
know.
Could it be that they got the rationale to change it that way that comes from a proposition also?
I don't know. No, the commission was not the product of a proposition. That I know. And what I don't know is where they did come from. I don't know who put them together. I think it was an executive order. I believe it was Pete Wilson. I don't know what he wanted. I have no idea what he wanted when he did it. I don't know what he wanted when he turned all those traffic cops. Highway Patrol used to be traffic cops. He made them all state police. I mean, this guy is so, I know you don't believe in police state.
No.
Can't be a police state, but he's so police state brained, I swear to God.
Well, because I know what police state
good,
is.
He's a good Republican.
I've been at least in two police states. I know what they are.
Well, no, you know what they are when they're fully developed, but you've never been around at the birth of one. before now. And the way they get born is that people sit there while they're coming in into being, and they ignore them. Oh, no, they can't be. It can't be a police state. Can't be a police state.
That's there are all kinds of other... somebody called in hasn't the government collecting racial info been discussed enough?
Somebody must have mistyped that. What does it say?
Well, the Proposition 54. I guess that's a reference to
Proposition 54. Oh, they're talking about Proposition. See, but Proposition 53 and 54 will not survive this onslaught of lawsuits. They can't.
Probably not.
How can they? The Constitution.
You would have to
say that the Constitution is not being acted out for the good of the people if it works that way. I mean, and there's no way that a court can reach that conclusion. But when they moved, originally those things were set to go in March. And when they moved them back to this date, the people that wanted to promote them, the ones that got them on the ballot to start with, had no chance to gather the revenue to do the promotion to get them looked at. Most people have not an idea what they're about except to boost the monies against 54.
Yeah, have you read the 53, Proposition 53?
Well, 53 is trying to recover some
minuscule... It's written like Patriot Act.
Well, no, not really, no.
Well, I mean, the style of it, it's amending to the law. It's, you know, unless you open the existing California code in the Constitution, you have no idea what the heck is this thing.
That's why the 100-day lead time for propositions, because I guarantee you go down the street and stop people and say, what does it say, what does it say, what does it say, and you won't find a handful of people in a day that have a clue, even if they've read their voter's guide.
I read the text of it. I couldn't figure out.
There
you go. But for me... one thing was the most important. It's the proposition that was put on by a legislature, and that was, for me, enough grounds to vote no on Proposition 53. That's it.
Actually, it wasn't that bad a deal. I voted yes on it, and the reason I voted yes on that one was because of what it attempts to do is take that money that is supposed to go to supporting the infrastructure and use it for that, just up to 3% from the 1%
that's
currently
right.
Using.
You know what's going to happen? Next time, if this proposition passes, the next time there is a budget or anything, those clowns out there in Sacramento, those clowns that are paying all this dole to all of those voting blocks and voting groups and special interests, they're going to say, oh, the Constitution says 3%. We're not going to spend a penny more than 3% on infrastructure. That's what you're going to end up
with. They're not meeting the 1% they're doing now.
Well, but...
I mean, take a look at the roads, dude, and what you're getting away with on four wheels is deadly on two. It's getting real damn dangerous out there without those stupid helmets. I mean, it's... For motorcyclists, it's hell. I mean, there's rocks flying, potholes everywhere.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
okay.
We're falling apart.
Okay.
But anyway, the propositions 53 and 54. 54, the person that called in, I wish they'd have said hi. I think McClintock handled that. I think he handled it well in the debate. His response was pretty much, you know, as long as we keep talking about race, how are we ever going to become colorblind? I mean, just about the time I get to ignoring people's race, somebody jumps up and says, "Well, why? Because I'm Mexican American, or because I'm black, or because I'm Oriental? Why would you know why? Wait a minute, how did that get back into conversation? I have long considered myself colorblind. I'm sometimes the most surprised person in the world when a person announces to me, for example, that they're black. I knew one guy who lives up in San Lorenzo Valley. His name is Gene. He was raised by an Italian family, and I swear to God, I knew Gene for like 5-6 years before one day he was talking in a coffee shop somewhere and pointed out to me that he was black. And I backed up and I looked and I said, well, I'll be damned. Sure enough.
How black was he?
Was he really black? Well, no, I think that people that focus on that kind of thing would have picked it up right away. I mean, yeah, his skin was darker than a normal tan. And yes, his hair wasn't exactly straight and blonde, you know, but in no way did I ever think of him as Gene, the Italian-raised black guy. I looked at him, and he was, it was years later, we were sitting somewhere else, and there was a room full of people. I remember the conversation well. And his life had turned around, and he was doing a bunch of really neat stuff, working with disabled kids and doing a bunch of other stuff. And toward the end, because I really got mad at him for telling me he was black. I don't know why it just really offended me. I mean, I don't know why. And I thought he cheated me by doing that, because I always thought he was just Gene, you know? Anyway, so we were sitting in this room full of people, and he said something about how blessed he was. And I said, Gene, how can you say that? You know, God's blessed you. How can you possibly say that? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, it seems to me that by your telling, God took a perfectly good Italian and turned him black. You know? Well, he had about a second and a half to decide whether he was going to swing or smile. Oh. And he went ahead and laughed it off. But I'm going to tell you what, the sound of the heads turning in that coffee shop were something, dude.
He is a great guy.
But that's what it is. As long as we keep acknowledging and recognizing and focusing on the difference, we can never get beyond it.
But hang on. There is still a valid reason for as long as again, I don't think that government should be in the business for providing health care.
You do?
No, I think that government shouldn't be.
Oh, should not be?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
God, I was wondering how far from a Republican you really were. You're about to scare the bejesus out of me.
No. the only really very few things that separate me from Republicans, and those are mostly the issues of the social conservatism, and those are, you know, the abortion, the belief in God, and, you know, maybe a couple of others. I don't know, Ten Commandments.
We definitely need to get God out of our society as soon as possible. It served you Russians so very well to be a godless society.
We can argue on that, because I don't think that Russia was a godless society. They took away Christianity, they took away Christian God, and replaced it with Marx and Lenin. There was even a Trinity. Marx, Engels, and Lenin. I mean, everywhere.
Excuse me.
You're welcome.
It's like a godless society, as I think most of us would recognize it. Because I don't think that it's a little bit of a stretch to put Lenin up next to God. But that's, I mean, maybe.
No,
maybe.
In terms of how people believed in all this.
No, I understand what you're saying.
That's exactly what it was.
Or die.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. They believed.
Yeah. Later, you didn't have to die. You could just go into the mental institution.
Yeah, or a work camp. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so, but.
Which is where we're headed here, by the way.
No,
you got to understand that the California Constitution Revision Commission is a little different.
But it's gone.
In what form does it exist now? Because to say that it's gone is not a truism, my friend. It's not gone. It has simply changed its color. It is chameleon. That power group, that power move, that one that makes a committee where there is none, I watched that thing materialize in the middle of a judicial council meeting one time. And I sat there and I watched these men sit around a table and amend state law among themselves. And these were guys that their job was to see that the courts had a constant, you know, that the fine for a traffic ticket was the same here as it was in San Jose, as it is in San Francisco, as it is in Redding. And that's their job, is to see that the courts are uniform in the way they apply things.
I think
we'd all be happier. It seems to me that that would be the goal. It is a stated goal, and I think it's an laudable goal. But the point is that those men sit around that table that day and decided to amend the language of a statute so that it reflected one thing as opposed to another. And I sat there and I watched the now Chief Justice of the Supreme Court say, well, but we can't do that because the law very clearly states that it says this. But to commit that the group there, the Judicial Council, voted and by majority amended legislative statute. So it's the same thing. That commission, that California Constitution Revision Commission, is little different than that California Judicial Council. What happens is that some power group in government will sit there and abide these people's decisions.
Yes. And it's always going to be the case. And it's always...
You know why?
Let me finish.
It's
always going to be the case as long as the government is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The only way to prevent this kind of creeping bureaucratic opportunism is to make the government less...
and less and less and make it less influential over the daily lives of people. That's exactly what tore down eventually the Soviet Union system, because they were doing everything. They were counting everything. They were counting the number of buttons I should have on my underwear.
I know.
Well, never mind. Okay, let's
No, I do not disagree with that one bit, which is except for the absolutism of some of it. But
yeah, but let's take a commercial break. This is KSCO AM 1080, KSCO AM 1340. The election coverage, we have incessant patriotic Yankee Doodle kind of thing over there.
I love it.
Right. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Very British, though.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Port Ord, Moss Landing, and Yanata.
Stand by, guys. Sean Neen walked into the office here. You know, I told everybody, you know, you never know who's going to show. So remember the Brave New World? Remember those two wacky guys? Well, he is in here in the studio. He doesn't want to get behind the microphone.
Didn't you guys used to do fairs?
Richard. Don't forget, that's the microphone.
Yeah, who was it that used to go out to the fair, walk around on a cell phone and talk to people at the fair and do interviews?
That was Robin Goldstein, and there's also, they used to be the random guys.
They were funny, dude.
They were really funny, yeah.
That was great radio.
Especially the guy that was talking about Jesus on the stick. Over there at the fair, that everything on the stick. You know, corn on the stick, corn dog on the stick. Yep. Do you have Jesus on the stick? Would you eat Jesus?
All
right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the election coverage. It's a free form election coverage. However, we try to do stuff.
You believe in free form? Your candidate doesn't.
What do you mean?
Well, Arnold.
What do you mean Arnold doesn't believe? What?
He doesn't do free form. He doesn't do ad lib. All he can do is his little script.
Richard, why is that relevant to what I just said?
I don't know that it was relevant. It was just a way of getting your attention.
Would you speak at the microphone?
I was feeling ignored, you know.
Well, I'm just opening the segment. Telephone numbers 479-1080, 477-1340. Richard was complaining.
Complaining?
To Sean,
no, I never complain.
I have not fired him up yet. Well, maybe this would. A stupid question. It's a fax from Landon in SoCal. Stupid question. Why are you asking someone like Richard Q the finer and legal points of the California Constitution of Law when he cannot even understand the motorcycle helmet law? Question mark. Richard, we're not going to discuss the helmet law, but maybe that would fire you up.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
I think you called it right. Didn't he say it was a stupid question?
Well, yeah.
Okay, there you go. I mean, that's enough said.
Okay, well, the other guy was just being sarcastic, I guess.
Was he?
Telephone number is 479-1080,
477-1340,
if you would like to be on the program. And this is KSCOAM 1080, KSCOAM 1340. We're doing election coverage. We're not going to get any numbers for quite a while. I'm
really
looking at the Kevin Shelley's website. And it's being refreshed every 2 minutes, but it's still zeros and zeros, naturally. I don't know, since I am behind the microphone, Richard is here behind the microphone, sort of. Maybe I'm linguistically challenged.
I understand the limitations, man. That's right.
I wonder if there is any speculation, any polling, pre-polling, post, you know, what's that called, exit polling data that comes on any of the networks. If anybody has any information on that, give a call.
What, I do.
Okay, what's the...
according to the exit
polls... That was like an hour ago, right?
An hour and a half ago. Okay. I was sitting up at the house getting ready to come down here and do 3 hours with you, Cyril. And that took some preparation, I want you to know. It did. I actually picked something up and read it just so I'd have something fresh on my mind.
Oh, okay.
But CNBC, according to their chit-chat, their chatter... They even talked to Willie Brown. I think it's such a great idea to interview Willie Brown. You know Willie Brown? Willie Brown's funny. He's
the guy
mayor
with the
of San
hat?
Francisco, you know.
The guy with the hat.
Yeah, Willie Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah,
he's a funny little guy. I shook hands with him one time. It was like shaking hands with a five-year-old dude. He's got little tiny hands. He's just a little bitty guy. He's really, you know, pretty funny. Anyway.
Sure was a powerful figure and still is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, well, sure.
Those short guys, you know, they always manage to sneak out in there.
I
like Napoleon.
Do you think that had anything to do with it?
George W. Bush?
No, I think it was
Putin.
Because he was a Democrat, dude. I think that was where he got his power base.
Oh, okay. All right.
He was giving out free lunches and promises of free lunches to everybody. I watched him move through the... It's all image, man. It's all what you can sell up there. I watched those guys work. It's amazing to watch them work. It'll make you give up sausage. No, that's an old reference. Lawmaking and making sausage have one thing in common.
Don't talk to me about making sausage.
Well, they say
I am a sausage maker.
They say that to know how to make sausage and to know how to make law is to give you a lack of appreciation for either one.
I make myself sausage and I make it to eat, and I like it.
Really?
Yeah, I love my sausage, and everybody else that tried my sausage liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, bring some down. Do you put it in intestine, or do you use that plastic?
No,
crap?
Plastic. No.
Really?
They're intestine, of course. Real stuff.
The real kind.
Yes, real stuff. Oh, and Carlitos Market smokes it. I mean.
Really?
Yeah, they smoke.
Well, how come all the time I've been working at this station that's pretty funny facts, you know. All the time I've been working at the station, nobody's ever offered me any Cyril sausage.
Well, because I haven't done much in the last year.
We have a free enterprise system, you know. We could actually market that stuff.
Unfortunately, I cannot make it at home for sale. That's the problem.
Well, but if it's being smoked down there at Coralitas, isn't
but
that
you see,
legal?
But the making process of it, I grind it at home. So if the meat hits the kitchen sink in my home, I cannot do anything to
sell it. Well, but all that happens off a recipe, right?
Well, I have my own recipes, yes.
Okay, so what we do is we take the recipe, and then we take it to one of those places that can put the meat on their sink.
Yeah,
after they get, and
yeah.
Then we could Markle cereal sausages.
Yeah, I started working on that. I even have a company, Baltic Sea Sausage Company.
If you cook them real slow, do they swell up till they explode?
What do you mean explode, swell up? You mean the amount of fat? You're interested in the amount of fat?
I'm trying to find out.
Fat is at least 20%.
When you're cooking your sausages real slow, I'm talking about
you
real
mean
low
fresh
fire.
Or cooked already? When they're smoked already, right? They came from Carlitos Market.
Right.
Okay.
And now they're home and they're in the refrigerator, and I'm going to take it out of the refrigerator, and I'm going to put it in the skillet, and I'm going to heat it up real slow.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you heat sausages, real slow.
Yeah.
And will it reach a point where it'll swell up to the point that it'll just, you know, pop?
I don't know. Never done that.
Really?
Never popped it. But if you really, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't notice that in the last 5 minutes, this is KSCO's election coverage. My name is Cyril Vitomsky. I'm sitting in here with Richard Quigley.
Did you bring up sausage?
No, I haven't done any recently, because I have done way too many of those last year when I was trying to market them to Costco.
When did you and Steve Hartman decide that you were going to just do everything you could to promote this guy Arnold Schwarzenegger to the government?
I always you know, as soon as Schwarzenegger announced, and when I realized that Richard Reardon, as soon as Reardon announced that he was not going to run, I was hoping for Schwarzenegger to come in. And one of the main reasons is that I understand that however well-intentioned, and we all know where good intentions
go. No, don't come at McClanahan. You tell me why.
No, no, no.
You tell me why Schwarzenegger, not why
I'm
not McClanahan.
I'm trying to tell you, and I will tell you if you stop interrupting.
If you can do it without Sam McClanahan, have at it.
Wait a minute. I didn't mention McClanahan.
I thought you were headed down there. That sounded
supposition.
Like a, okay.
That was supposition. That was conjecture.
And you know
what you ran into?
I was trying
now,
to prevent it.
Now that you tried to interrupt me, and now that you jumped the gun, figuratively, of course, now I will not be able to tell you why, because we are almost up to the news. The polls... Really, ladies and gentlemen, are closing. You have about 25 seconds to get to the polling place and cast your ballot
for Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's all I can say in for the end of the first hour of the Wall to Wall
coverage. Will you tell us after the break?
I will tell you after the break. Of course I will tell you after the break.
Good.
I'll tell you everything. I don't have any. I am the most transparent person. I have nothing to hide. And this is KSCO Senegal's KOMY Watsonville. Stay with us. Here is the news. It's 8 o'clock.